Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
There's been a lot of focus on the gambling industry in recent days with the Ivan Toney footballer case. Also on Friday, Paddy Power were fined close to £500,000 sterling by the UK Gambling Commission for sending push notifications to customers who had self-excluded. Well, this once again raises the question of tighter regulations and more oversight of the industry. One person at the front line of the problem gambling treatment believes the industry should be doing and paying a lot more to tackle and deal with addiction. Brian O'Connell joins me now. First, there's legislation, Brian, on the way.
Yes, the gambling regulation bill is keenly awaited, really, Cormac, by many. It's taken some time to be enacted, in fairness, and it will in turn give the regulator powers that it needs. I'm told it's currently being prepared for committee stage, and I'll have an update on that shortly. The regulator, as I said, is in place. We're awaiting this legislation. There will be, as part of this bill, a new watershed in terms of advertising. There'll be bans on social media targeting of punters, limits as well for certain gamblers, and then things like free bets, which would entice new customers, they'll be ended as well. So in recent days, as you said, there has really been renewed focus on the industry. Brentford's Ivan Toney, you referenced him, the footballer. He was diagnosed with a gambling addiction, banned from all football activity for 8 months for gambling. Separately, Paddy Power, as you mentioned, fined close to that £500,000 fine by the UK Gambling Commission. That was for sending push notifications, and they were sending them to customers who had self-excluded. Now, the parent company said the push notifications were sent in error, but again, I suppose it does raise questions all around this issue.
I know you're going to give us an update in just a moment on the legislation that you mentioned there, but you spoke to one leading medic in this country who wants a levy placed on the industry here to fund treatment beds.
Yes, exactly. Colin O'Gara is a consultant psychiatrist at St John of God Hospital. He's also the clinical professor of psychiatry at UCT. Now, he wants to see more inpatient treatment units, and he wants the gambling industry to help pay for these units by way of a levy. He began, Cormac, by telling me what he's seeing in his practice around problem gambling at present.
Young men in particular go online, starting to gamble on online sports betting, and then are diverted into what are considered to be more addictive forms of gambling, such as online slots. You know, the online space, very difficult to regulate. We've really had a decade of advertising, a decade of very strong proliferation of gambling and actually normalization of it. We have, you know, young people who are becoming sick as a result of that.
Yeah, I was in a social setting recently, and there was one of the big Premiership games was on, and it struck me how many people were engaged in their phones in terms of making side bets as opposed to what was happening on the TV screen.
Two pieces to that. I mean, the behavior has become normalized in terms of if you are in a group of young men in particular, it is normal to be to have the phone out and to be engaging in in-play betting. And you know, in-play betting is lucrative to the gambling industry. It's also proven to be more addictive. You know, we really need to have regulation as soon as possible. You know, there's a huge need at the moment for services nationally. I mean, we have a service which responds to this disorder, but really you need, in every province, you need, and in my view, you need an inpatient rehab facility, because this condition needs, you need to get away from gambling for a period of time.
Should the gambling industry pay towards that?
No doubt in my mind whatsoever. Well, I in particular used to say, look, we'll do a 1% levy of the huge turnover, which could be viewed as anybody reasonable would say, look, that's fair enough. And you're looking at a multidisciplinary network of teams, well, then I think that should be costed up. And I have spoken to the Gambling Regulatory Authority, which is now established. It's not going to be cheap, but in terms of the profits of the gambling industry, it's well able to, you know, it should be, we should be able to do it.
Quite a good suggestion. Strong words from Colin O'Gara there. And I know you put a suggestion to the gambling industry, Brian. Is there any way currently, though, for problem gamblers to fully avoid being targeted by companies?
Well, it's very difficult because obviously of the proliferation of gambling and sport and the fact that obviously a huge part of the industry is online. There is a software program called Gamban. It's very useful. It's recommended for many frontline counsellors would actually recommend it for people who might be in early recovery, for example. But I suppose really there's no system where tech savvy people can't get around. Paddy Power, for example, have settings where you can self-exclude for various time periods. You can even opt for a lifetime ban. I wanted to get the industry's take on the new regulation, also on Colin O'Gara's call for them to fund directly treatment centres in every province. So I spoke with Sharon Byrne. She's chairperson of the Irish Bookmaker Association, would represent most of the betting shops in Ireland. And she began by telling me about the ways the industry has tried to tackle problem gambling itself.
The IBA has introduced lots of codes of practice and safer gambling codes with the best of intentions and following best international practices, but I can't force people to abide by them. Whilst the majority of our members are, and I try to keep my eye on things, the regulator will bring in much more researched, effective regulations and will have the power to supervise and enforce, and I think that's critical. The betting shop used to be miles ahead of the online, but now the online has exploded and mobile has exploded. So the online side of sports betting, which is what you do in a betting shop, is ahead of retail now. I think it's something like 54-46% in favour of the online now. So,
have we an issue with problem gambling in this country?
97% of the adult population in Ireland has no problem with their gambling. There are 0.3% of the adult population are problem gamblers. And that is in line with international, particularly the UK, which is the closest to our model.
I was speaking with Colin O'Gara. Now, he feels a levy should be placed on the industry to pay for inpatient residential facilities, frontline services. What would you think of that?
Yeah, well, we're, our members are already paying a type of levy, Brian, because we fund the Gambling Awareness Trust. It has the free phone number 1-800-936-725. And they are funding lots of services, Brian. And there's no waiting lists. There's no costs and no waiting lists for anybody affected by problem gambling for the services the Gambling Awareness Trust is funding. And then when the levy kicks in from the regulator, there'll be plenty for them and others.
And that's Sharon Byrne there, chair of the Irish Bookmaker Association, pointing to stats showing the big majority of gamblers don't have an issue, she says, Brian.
Yeah, I've had a look at the data. I mean, if you look at it globally, say problem gambling, the prevalence is somewhere between 0.1% and 5.8%. Now, if you look at the Irish figures from 2022, about a half of the population, 49%, they reckon engage in gambling. The prevalence rate for problem gambling amongst the general population is 0.3%. Sharon made that point. That would indicate, Cormac, you're looking at about 12,000 people in Ireland who would have a problem with gambling. Now, Colin O'Gara says he's seen a noticeable rise in numbers presenting to his services, and he feels the numbers are far higher when you consider all the people problem gambling impacts, so the wider circle, the family, and the stigma that led, in his view, to an underreporting of issues.
There needs to be an acceptance that it's not a very small minority of people that suffer from this, you know, this problem, and that the industry can say, oh, well, look, it's a, you know, it would always be this less than 1% figure. Actually, people are harmed by gambling up to 5% of the population. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people. It may not be the full-blown gambling disorder, severe gambling disorder picture that you read about in books and you hear in the media. There's still a huge range and a spectrum of harm that the gambling product inflicts on people. You know, because it's such a highly stigmatized condition, we haven't worked on that, that it, you know, it gets pushed under the carpet in a lot of cases, and that suits the industry. So really the biggest question is to look at prevalence, to come to an understanding that it is hundreds of thousands of people, and then we work from there.
My goodness, even if you were to take it as 12,000, it would fill an awful lot of sporting stadia around the country. Mm. But Brian, you got an update on when the new bill, which is needed to give powers to the regulator, will be enacted.
I'm told it's currently being prepared for committee stage. That is expected to take place before the summer recess, and then they hope the bill will get through the various stages. This year, Cormac, would be the anticipation there. Now, it does contain a number of safeguards and measures to protect people from participating in gambling. There's a national gambling exclusion register, which will be part of the bill. So that will allow someone to exclude themselves from gambling online with licensees. So it'll be interesting to see how that works in practice, given how difficult it might be to opt yourself out out of all online communications. Various other measures, as I said, that watershed ban as well, that will be part of the bill. And then obviously the big one of the big ticket items is giving powers to the regulator. The regulator is in place, but just giving effect and giving powers to that regulator.
Okay, we'd love to hear from the listener on this one to 51551 or email drivetime@rte.ie. But for the moment, Brian O'Connell, thank you very much indeed for the report.